and examine possibilities.
Yes, sir.
So I think we just titled supernatural possibilities.
Praise God.
You know, there are possibilities in the natural. And I want us to finish quite fast so that we can exercise our faith. So there are possibilities in the natural. For example, someone asks you, can you afford a public particular kind of car? And then you go look at your account. Some of us, our account cannot flash MTN. MTN is falling, Abby. To call. Abby? I know you used to be phone error. I don't know how much it is now. I don't use MTN. But, you know, you look at your account, and it looks like jam score. You say, 290. Okay, you can't even get 290. 252. You know, Kinde. If you know Kinde, let me say what Kinde is. When we were younger, we look at our friends, and I say, Kinde, the 500. Not heard that before. Say, Kinde, Kinde, one way. You know Kinde syndrome. You know, when you just imagine things, say, imagine this is our house now. I remember myself and my sister, we coming back from school. And so, we see fine house, we say, see house now. See where we are going to. And I say, and it's just give us this house. Just say, it's your own now. You know, possibilities. You know, and so there are possibilities in the natural. Where, probably someone got a job, and then, you wonder, how did he get a job? But he knew someone, he knew, probably his uncle is the, general manager. So there are possibilities in natural. Then the guy gets the job and said, how did you get it? It tells you, my father is the general manager, you know? And then, you're not surprised again? Focus. You're not surprised again? But, when it now happens where someone doesn't know anybody, and then you want a job, and you know, and supernaturally something just happens. So supernaturally there's a provision. I recall there was a time myself and my mom had somebody in the house, and then we were coming back. Holiday time, she came to pick me, and we were stranded because the bus we took broke down, and the driver ran away. We are giving anybody money. Now, that's not the issue. The issue was that it was about 7:30 p.m. stranded on the road from Ikeron to Ibadan. That's quite some bush. Funny enough, there were no vehicles around. I mean, if you even see a bus, at least you will beg. Every bus that was passing was full. So, how do we get to Ibadan? Before we started thinking about anything, it was already about 2:09. A probably 11-year-old boy with a mother. We are plenty there. About 10 people. And so, I was the youngest. It started raining. You know, that's when you now start blaming God. Why don't you have a car? You know, it started raining and all. Everybody was wet and all. People that went to the town, they were just walking to the nearest. Where do we know that we start entering people's communities? So I just had to pray. I can still remember vividly. I said, God, you know, there's a way you promise God when you are young. If you do this, I will not steal. I will not. And I said, God, if you would send the vehicle away, and I will preach in the class next time when we resume. I said, God, if you just send the vehicle, any vehicle, if it is a boat, at this time I just need covering, I need to get home. And as soon as I was done praying, a truck showed up and said, where are you going to? We're still about 7 there. Where are you going to? We said, is Ibadan? So. Then he said, no, that child should enter. My mom went and said, no, only that child. He said, no, I'm the mother. I said, okay. But I was wondering, he said, no, doesn't want them. That he just won't, it's because of this child. I said, God, so I want to preach like this. You know, and we'll see you next time. God reminded me actually. He said, you preach now. I said, preach God. You know, all those days when you're trying to do big boy, Jesus won. than to the boy, you know, impress the girls. I'm like, this is it. You can shatter Bible. You have like 3 Bible so that they can beg you for Bible. Begging for Bible. At least you have opportunities to talk. So where's my Bible? Alright, so, I just said that to tell you that God answers prayers. It's not even about spiritual growth. So when it comes to providence, it's not even about spiritual growth. You just have to believe. And so we're looking at supernatural possibilities. Hallelujah. Things that are possible by the power of God. We're talking about what the faith in God's word can orchestrate. Anybody can have connections and have people that you know in from places and all. But we're looking at the possibilities by the power of God. Supernatural ones. Praise God. Luke chapter 1. Tell that is to Luke. The gospel according to Luke. Chapter 1. Verse 37. We've been here some months ago. Just going to examine that again. Again, we're discussing what? Supernatural possibilities. Luke 1:37. Can we read together? I want everybody to be loud on this. One to go. For with God, nothing shall be what? I want you to say it loud and you mean what you say. One to go. For with God, nothing shall be possible. What's nothing? Nothing. Nothing doesn't have explanation. Nothing is nothing. That means all things are possible with God. And what is he saying? Because you have to explain. Before you say all things are possible. That means I can be male in the morning, then you have to know I'm female. That's not the kind of possibilities you are talking about. Even though some people have that kind of possibilities. Demonic possibilities. You know, in the morning you are a guy. In the afternoon, everything like this. See, I don't know what's happening. I recall a particular relative of mine wanted to be doing the demo stuff. Then I roused him. What's your age? He returned back to his creator. The fourth surface. Hallelujah. And so, we are not talking about that kind of possibilities. We are not talking about possibilities that you just wake up and you see money under your bed. That's something. Miracle money. Miracle money. I knew. It's a miracle working. Better ask your daddy. If he's hiding the landlord's money under your bed. Hallelujah. So we're looking at the all things that are possible. He says nothing. Now, actually, that word, nothing there, I mean, in that context, not all through the Bible, in that word, in that verse, in the Greek is the word, there are two words together. Rhema, how? Rhema, you know Rhema? R-E-R-H-E-M-A. Rhema. And O-U. Separate them. Now, O-U means no. Right? Why Rhema means what? Rhema. What's the Greek meaning of Rhema? Word. Spoken word, right? So when you say no spoken word, that makes sense? So when it says nothing, it's actually no spoken word of God is impossible. What the angel was telling, because the background of this is that the angel came to Mary and he said, you are going to give birth. You're going to give birth to a son. And Mary said, how can a virgin give birth to a son? Of course, you have to ask that kind of question. Because by the time Joseph sees you, maybe it is in these days, Joseph will have gone to Facebook. Say, now wow, don't believe in any sister. Sila. Or, on his WhatsApp status, Joseph will have said, trust no one. Even the most gentle of faces, evil abounds in humanity. You don't just say rubbish. And then you'll ask Joseph friends. They'll say, Yahweh don't gasp. DM me for more info. You know? But so Mary asked the question. He said, how shall these things be? Seeing that I know not a man, that is, how can this be? How can you tell me that I'm going to give birth to a child? Then the angel said, there's no word spoken from God that is impossible. You know, sometimes that should be your mantra. You know, just tell yourself that there's no word spoken from God that is impossible. That means every word spoken by God has the power to fulfill itself. That's what impossible there. That is, there's nothing God says that doesn't have the power in itself to be fulfilled. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. This is the same word that God told Abraham in Genesis 18. We'll still see that much more later. When the Lord visited Abraham and told Abraham, you're going to have a child by this time next year. And Sarah was at the back laughing. Like, are you hiding me? Are you hiding me? Now, I know there are supernatural works, but I'm old. My honey too is old. What's going to happen? And God said in verse 14, Genesis 18, I am the Lord. Is there any impossibility with me? Hallelujah. That is, the words I say have the inherent power to fulfill themselves. Does that make sense? Huh? And so, with God, nothing shall be what? Huh? The nothing is there what? The nothing there is what? Everything in this world is possible. And if you can become the GCFR, that means the president of Nigeria tomorrow morning, can you? Huh? Huh? You can become the president tomorrow. You can't even. I know some preachers can gas you up.
You can be everything you want to be. Are you thinking it? Just think it. Think it. If you can think it, you can be it.
It's a lie. Think that you want to become a pilot now. Think it now. And be it. If that will not be your last game. you just think it and be it. Hallelujah. So when it says nothing shall be possible, that's doing what God said. Not generic. For example, I know that it's impossible for you to become a pastor and you preach here tomorrow morning, next week Sunday. I mean, that I will be sitting down, you'll be the one preaching. Abisola? Is that one possible? Eh? It's a supernatural impossibility. Alright, so we are looking at the word of God. So it says, with God, there's no word that goes unfulfilled. So there are supernatural possibilities. A Christian must believe in miracles. Say, I believe in miracles. I know that I didn't hear that well. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. See, if you don't believe in miracles, you can't get one. You can't get a miracle if you don't believe in it. You don't even have to be a Christian to get a miracle. You just got to believe in that is a miracle. Hallelujah. All it takes to have a miracle is to believe that there's one. I believe in miracles. See, never get to that point where you are so worried up and so worked up, even with that sin, that you get out of the supernatural. I believe in miracles. I believe in needs met supernaturally. Hallelujah. I believe. Praise God. And so, the genesis of the Christian life itself is a miracle. You can't be a Christian without a miracle. You started with a miracle. That's salvation. Salvation is a miracle. Salvation is a miracle. And I didn't know that it was a salvation. It's a miracle. Because it's a supernatural intervention. What's a miracle? A miracle is a supernatural intervention. Something that alters the course of nature. You know, normally, water, you can't walk on water, have you? Eh? If you get on water, what happens? Eh? Just want to walk on. You want to jump from third mainland bridge and jump inside the water. Say, where are you going? I'm going to Dumota. You want to Dumota is going south. that's a miracle, right? To walk on water. Have you ever walked on water before? I haven't. I'm just asking. You walk on water before? No, not during rain. Not when it's raining. That's the water you want to. You know, it's raining. I walk on water and on the street. I know our rivers. I heard a story about a particular young boy some years ago. About 11, I think I shared it in church. About 11 year old, and he was going on mission with his friends, you know. And he got to a particular place. We were going to go to a village, but a river was separating them. I think it's in Scotland. A river was separating 11 year old or 12, I forgot it. And he was with about 10 other kids or 9, thereabout. And he said, let's walk on water. He saw who are the kids. Not okay, you are not here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Sheni ma dupe. You know, and they walked on water. Hallelujah. They actually walked on that river. 11. Yeah, 11 year old. 12. Hallelujah. That's supernatural, right? But The greatest miracle ever is not walking on water. In fact, the greatest miracle ever is not bread becoming plenty. Even though we have that, it's going to be fun in church. Yeah? It's going to be fun. The greatest miracle ever is not the blind seeing. Even though that's good, the greatest miracle ever is not the deaf ear unstopped. I thought some years ago, where we had a healing meeting at Lagoon Front, in the University of Lagos. And we had a deaf man here for the first time. You are there, eh? So, it was like a practice session or something. Hallelujah. And we had a deaf ear unstopped. I was wondering that minister, but because of myself. Not that it can happen. So that was my first meeting in Lagos. So, we can have that, but that's not the greatest miracle. Even though we're all happy and I was gassed up. Yay! Power! War! Kingdom! Don't let people gas you up. Praise God. But that's not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle is actually a man being saved. That's a supernatural interception. Romans 5:5. It says, while we were yet sinners. While we were yet sinners. Hallelujah. So it makes us not ashamed. For the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means you are not begging to come. That's a supernatural intervention. And guess what that cost? It now caused you to be translated from kingdom of darkness to where? To the kingdom of his son. Colossians 1:14. That's a miracle. I mean, someone who was dead spiritually now has eternal life. In Ephesians 1, verse 19, when it says that you might know. We're going to read together from verse 19 to 23, then we'll read chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. Want to go, everybody? Exceeding greatness of his power, to us word we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which was in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him as his own right hand in heavenly. Far above all principalities and power, and might and every name that is in him. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put him over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filled all in all, and you are the quickened. I don't know the prince of the power of the head. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Was the congregation of times past. But God. The children of wrath. But God, who is rich in mercy. Where you love us. Christ. Verse 6. And as we were together, together in everything, in what? In Christ. Hallelujah. Look at what he said. He said, in verse 19, God worked his power. That you can know his power. He said, the power is also at work towards you. That's in salvation. Then he said, the same power was wrought in Christ. He said, how was the power wrought in you? It weakened you. And so, a man without Christ is dead. And that God told Abraham, the day you eat of this, you will die. Abi? Right? Did he die? Did he die? Yes. He actually did. A man without Christ is a living corpse. He's walking, but he's walking dead. You know that movie? Walking dead. Hallelujah. And so, what the gospel did to you was to make you alive. Say, I'm alive. Say, I'm alive. I'm alive. Yeah. So, that's what the gospel did. And so, the first miracle was actually that the dead became alive, which is the gospel. Habakkuk 2, verse 4. Now say, the just shall what? Live by his faith. When it says just shall live by faith, you are not talking about everyday living. You're not talking about that as I'm going out this way, I'm living by faith. That's not what it's doing. It means the just shall come alive. The way a new baby is born. The way a baby is born. So the just shall live. That is, they will come alive. The only people that will be alive will be by faith. That's what it's saying. Not that everyday life will be faith. Even though that's good. When it says the just shall live by faith, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3, Hebrews 10, Habakkuk 2:4, the just shall come alive by his faith. I'm alive. And so, the first miracle you will ever experience, you have experienced it, is actually that you are alive. You are saved. Praise God. That's why Moses also tell them in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and tell them that he has given them the manna, right? He's giving them the bread, and he tells them, man shall not live by bread alone. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3. Imagine someone giving you bread every day for 40 years. How about that? And then it tells you, man shall not come alive by bread. Again, we have to rephrase that verse a bit, right? Remind me? Man shall not live by bread. So you live alone. It's not that man shall not live by bread alone. Actually, man shall not live by bread, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God alone. Because he's not talking about sustenance. He's talking about coming alive. So man shall not come alive by bread. Man will come alive by the word of God alone. That makes sense? That makes sense? Because bread will not even make you alive in the first place. So, when a man shall not live by bread, he's not alone. Because I've seen people just misinterpret that verse and say, since man shall not live by bread alone, let me go and find akara. Or find butter. Or beans. They say, the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone. That's a wrong use of scripture. It's actually man shall not live by bread, but by every word that will come out of the mouth of God alone. Praise God. And so, miracles is a fundamental basic in the Christian faith. As a Christian, the greatest miracle already happened to you. Salvation is the miracle of miracles. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He says, if any man be in Christ, is he what? You should know that one very well. Is he what? New creature. All things have passed away. Behold, that seed. All things have become new. Verse 18 says, and all things are of God, who has reconciled unto himself. Hallelujah. All things are new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you alive this morning? All things are new. And so, salvation is that miracle of miracles. It's the first and the greatest miracle. And so, if you're going to believe God for miracles, it's based on that. Salvation brought forth a people whose father is God Almighty. Look, God is my father. How many of you are born again here? MCS. I'm looking for someone that's not born again. Alright, we're all born again. Okay. See, I'm born again. Yeah, I'm very, very born again. You know, I'm born again. Truly born again. God is my father. Yeah, that's my father. And so, that's salvation. That's a miracle. Imagine a man calling God his father. You know, that was why they killed Jesus. They didn't kill Jesus because he was working miracles. They didn't kill him because of our sin. Okay, they didn't even know that there was any sin. They killed him because he said God is his father. Because that is supernatural. But today we always say Father Lord Almighty. I don't know. The Father Lord Jesus. I don't understand that one. Father Lord Jesus. Who are you calling exactly? And when people may forgive you of that, the Father Lord Jesus. Who exactly? Father of Jesus. Because I didn't know what to say. Today's not for that one. Hallelujah. So the first miracle is actually being saved. So, and in that miracle, listen very well. I want to start zeroing in on the one we have talked about today. In that miracle, what you will see is God's provision. Miracle of salvation, the first thing you have to see is God's provision. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he what? That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever what? Hey, whosoever shall not, but I know everybody knows that one now. And so he gave his son. So salvation started with God's provision. God gave providence. God provides. I'm telling you this morning that God provides. God never utters lack. God doesn't utter lack. You can determine what your needs are and he will take care of it. So say, what can I believe God for? Anything. How about that? School fee, house rent, DSTV bills, transport fare, etiquette. I didn't even need that etiquette. Data. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can trust God. Hallelujah. I can trust God for data. Yeah, you can. School fee, whatever it is. I trust God. So, God provides. Let it ring your head that God provides. We have a teaching like that. God will take care of you, right? God will take care of you. You should not listen to that again. And so, in John 2, look at John chapter 2. Let's look at that. The very first miracle of Jesus. John chapter 2, turn your Bibles there. You there now? And the third day was the marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, you have no wine. Verse 4. Jesus said unto her, woman, what I have to do with you, my house not yet come. His mother said unto the servant, whatever I say is tell you to do. I think we explained this very well in our book. In our teaching. The gospel according to John. Alright. Verse 6. And there was there 6. Alright, verse 7. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pot with water. And they filled it to the brim. And he said, but now, go and serve. If you are the one that he asked you to go and serve, what will you have done? I mean, you ask someone to give you wine. You would have probably thought, okay, probably he has connect to one wine company that's close by. Right? Or, at least you see the miracle. Pour citrus into something. Mix it. But you know what? He just tells them, fill the water. Now, if he was going to pour the water in the pot, he probably has done something. Abakabrabra, while he was... Well, no, they were the ones that put the water. He said, put it. They put the water. I can see this water. They said, go and serve it as wine. And that's what the issue is. Go and serve it as wine. You must learn to trust God. And so, they did. In verse 8. Okay, verse 9. When the ruler of the feast had the water that was made wine, he didn't know where it came from. Verse 10. And he said unto me, every man at the beginning set for good wine. That is, when you do keep this better wine to the last. Can we verse 11 together, everybody? Everybody wants to go? This beginning of miracles, the Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory and his disciples believed. Again, miracles are also part of how God shows his glory. God shows his glory by miracles. And so, I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. And I'm going to have them. I believe, Lord, I believe. And so, first miracle of Jesus was actually provision. Divine providence. So sometimes as Christians, we get all worried. You know, probably you have done everything what you do, everything but pray about it. You know, as a Christian, you're looking for a job, and then you submitted your CV, you have a good resume, right? You have a good resume. In fact, the way you package your own is different. Why not pray about it? You've done everything you could do. Everything that can bring forth a natural possibility. It's time to work on what? Hallelujah. It's time to work on what? Don't get all worried and logical and, if I do this, I do this. After doing it, and then you see this doesn't really yield a result. You have to believe in miracles. I believe in miracles, actually. You can be a Christian and don't believe in miracles. Hallelujah. No? You have good grades, but no job. You better pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You actually can trust God for your job. How many of you know that? Job is given by man. You actually can trust God for your job. I've seen people who got jobs and they are still wondering how they got it today. Because normally, those kind of appointments is by nepotism, connections, you know. And dear friend, just her name. Just send her email. She thought it was scammers because she actually just dropped her application. She was looking for a job. Hey, you just dropped it for the sake of dropping. That's in Abuja. In fact, they dropped it for her. And she got they come for interview. Over 25,000 people applied. They are going to pick 10. You know? 10 out of 25,000. You know, some of us, we have a very bad attitude. Once you see that odds, you say, you say more. I'm guilty of that too. Hallelujah. I don't like trouble. So once you 10, 25,000, okay. And I know sometimes you have to walk on water. Hallelujah. You know, I believe in possibilities. I see possibilities. I see possibilities every day. I don't give up. But that's your business. I'm talking about things in natural now. You know, there are things in your life that doesn't have to do with praying and preaching and discipleship. There are things that can even hinder discipleship. Like hunger. Real hunger. Not hunger that we are fasting. Why? Have you not been hungry before? Most of you have not been hungry before. I've been hungry before. So hungry that I ate grass. Now, I was in boarding house. I have traded all my meals for the week. We used to trade meals. That is, for example, Wednesday afternoon, we eat jollof rice and egg. So I can say, I'll give you my jollof rice and egg. But in this you give me cabin biscuit and whatever, milk, you get. So we trade it. And then we have a binding agreement. So I've traded all my meals for the week. I don't know how. I look at Daniel, so someone just picking my food. Say, I forgot. I say, hey. And so that week was a supper week. And it was that week. So I said, what am I going to eat? There's no gari, there's nothing in the hostel. All my meals gone. I said, in the beginning, God created everything for food. You know, is that exegeting? And there's nothing in this life that God did not create for food. Like, even though this grass, we are just wasting them. So we are just wasting them. So I took weeds, elephant grass. I took elephant grass. I said, twisting, I know. I saw one hunger beside you there. It's contraband. But maybe someone could get it. I said, hunger. I put hunger. I'm just trying to perceive it. As I was eating this, I was coughing. I said, who sent you this thing? Hunger is not what I know. That's hunger. Real hunger. I think I'm not eating for maybe 2 days. I just eat something. The more my friend saw me, and I said, Chino! No. No, if I die, give him, I give him, but he's only eating grass. That's very dishonorable. So he took me to his own hostel. Gave me biscuits, milk, Milo, everything. Good granite. He said, God, the God that bless you, does not create anything. You know? Hallelujah. But that's hunger. No, imagine having that kind of hunger. And then you receive a call from Brosola. Say, we are going on outreach. And I said, today's not Saturday. He said, no, I'm just led. Take your own teaching. Hallelujah. You know, it's an attack, right? Sometimes, they're not even able to properly disciple because probably you have a need, a school fee you have not met. You are with me. I know what I'm saying. I'm talking out of proportion. A school fee is in your mind, or rent. You are not going to pay rent. Blessed are you. Rent is in your head. And they're telling you. So we're going to be praying. Say, we are praying for pastor. Say, which pastor? I'm praying for myself, this one. They are praying for pastor. His ministry is received. Amen. Doors are open. I said, Oluwa, this is me. 2 hours, you are praying for this ministry, which pastor? When my lady said to, pastor will be there too. Hallelujah. It can affect. And it's not a sin, actually. You're just human. You have to live, right? And so you must learn to trust God. Hallelujah. Again, you don't have to be spiritual. You don't have to be spiritual. Even though you should be. I'm talking about the miracles. It's not aged on spiritual growth. I have not even grown spiritually when I prayed. The other example I gave you the other time. Right? Those in John 2, were they even born again? Eh? In the Cana of Galilee. No, they just came from where? You just have to trust God. Like I said earlier, what it takes to receive a miracle is to believe that what? Eh? That is one. I believe in miracles. And so, supernatural. You have to see supernatural possibilities. Good things working out for you. It. How many of you here have been supernaturally provided before? I mean, you needed something and you prayed about it and you got it. Let me see. Or health, you are just healed, you are sick and then you prayed about it. Let me see. I'll see. Yeah, quite a number. Hallelujah. And if God has done it before, he can what? He can do it again. All the miracles that we saw Jesus perform in the four gospels or the four alternative gospels, they were not for history. He didn't do them for history. It's to show you the days of God among men. When you see Jesus multiply loaves of bread and provide it for those who are hungry, he shows you possibility. He shows you possibilities. When you see him heal the sick, that's a possibility. That is, it can happen again. When you see him raise the dead, it's a possibility. A supernatural possibility. Hallelujah. I believe in the supernatural. Whether concerning your business, concerning your academics, you have to believe. You've got to believe. Hallelujah. You have to believe. I recall when I was in, 300 level. And, I was this course. The day we were meant to write it, I was in the Badon for CBFC. And, I had to write it in my journal. I said, God, the exam I wrote today, because I was rushed. I wanted to leave the hall early. I did quite a number of things. No, I'm not the dollar though. To an extent. I'm not like them Buffett and Sajidit. A few cool people. But me, I'll pass. I just don't know how pass, I'll pass. But I'll pass. And so I said, God, help me. As I was going to, I was traveling. And I was in my journal. No, I saw it some days ago. I mentioned the course code. I said, God, this is also course. What do I get? And I just remember that the course actually had a name. Hallelujah. Of course, it was a simple course. But I had a name. There's sometimes you can trust God for anything. It's nothing too stupid. How much more what has to do with your everyday living? Has to grow older in the natural. You will learn to trust God more. Praise God. Praise God. So, if you have had God meet your needs, answered your prayers before, healed you supernaturally, then it is a very foolish thing not to believe God again. It's very foolish. In fact, it is tantamount to being hardened. Let's look at it. In Mark 6, look at Mark 6. Not to Mark 6. Mark chapter 6. Well, supernatural possibilities. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Thank you, Jesus. The background of what we're going to read is that 5,000 men, without the women and the children, counted, they were there, and Jesus saw that they were hungry, right? And then he asked, who has bread? And the mother wondered, how many bakery do you want to use? Yeah. And Jesus asked, who has bread? The disciples said, how many loaves can you use here? Andrew said, I can find someone who has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Even sardine is more than 2 fishes, Abby. The title also is 3. Jesus said, bring it. Then he multiplied it and 35,000 men. Hallelujah. He fed 5,000. The disciples saw it, right? Right? How many of you still believe that God can still meet needs? Hey, okay? I just want you to believe. Hallelujah. And so, there are times that even myself, God has spoken to me to actually give to people before. Both known and unknown. Times I'm passing on the street. And the person in there. There was a particular encounter. I thought to myself, I said, what's this? This cannot be. This man doesn't need money. The person was on suit. Was on suit. I mean, it's not something. You know, they're suit, they're shoot. They're like, this one needs money. Not that kind of suit, though. Suit that he passed my own suit. With proper lapel, proper tie, you know. And God said, give him money. I said, wouldn't it be an insult like this? And so I walked up to him. He gave him a particular amount, quite substantial. Then he said, thank you. I've been expecting you. God told me you'll come. God told me, you needed money. Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's actually not from Lagos. That he came to for a particular meeting and he has been praying about how he's going to get back. And I said, Pastor? He said, he's a pastor. Wow. Wow. Apparently, he had been robbed. Praise God. Naturally, I've just said this person doesn't need money now. I mean, it was even way better dressed than I was that day. This one doesn't need money. Oh, see the way God used me to meet his need. And he has actually used others to meet my need too. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are times that, you are spending the last cash in your account. When you say, if I perish, I perish. You know those kind of spending. But now when you like, that happened a lot too. Because if you kill me and say, if I perish, I perish. You have to withdraw the last 2K. Whatever happens after this, has happened. So, I say, collabo. Give rice. You have to do. What do you do? Because you know, that's like your last supper. You have to do. Push back. You can't meet the You made me money. You didn't buy something like this yesterday. Yesterday I still had money. This one. If I perish, I perish. Hey, as you're just going, that's happened to me several times. As you're just going, I just say, hey, do you know how to, someone said you know how to play keyboard. That's what I live for. That's what I like doing, my best hobby. just need, like 30 minutes. How much are you going to pay? What am I doing? I can hear even a song for you. Hallelujah. You know, You are not expecting money to just financially appear in your pocket. You are going to work for yourself. I'm not saying needs met supernaturally. Hallelujah. God can use people to meet your needs. And God can use you to meet the needs of others. Hallelujah. I'm available for that. So, Jesus can still meet needs supernaturally. One of the things of God is that He provides. He provides. Contracts have been awarded that I didn't know about. I mean, jobs that probably were much on it. Then you just write your own proposal. I recall one, I think I was listening to Jesus, I was probably 500. I recall one like that. I didn't even, companies, I don't want to mention names, already applied for the same, gig. And, I just did is that, at least me, I started applying for contract, so. Sounds like a big man terminology. Yeah. I was called. I said, you're the one who was good. I didn't even pitch it well. I mean, the day we went for it, everybody was getting down in big cars. I told you, big cars. I took Uber. Thank God I even took Uber. I'm going to take back. You know, my normal self. It was my roommate that said, I know now. You're going to pitch. He said, I wore shirt and trousers. I didn't even talk. When I first saw the first representative of the pitch, I said, we have losing. Bow tie. Suit. Co. We drive a waiting for him. I want that blue shirt. I'm black trouser. With sandals. Well, I said, I'm here, no? I can't waste my transfer here. I will talk. And we pitched. And I got it. That could have only been by the supernatural. There's nothing natural opposed to me getting it. Hallelujah. We cannot die. Hallelujah. You must trust God. A minister of the gospel must trust God and must believe in miracles. You can have your needs met. The way you have provision. I believe in the supernatural. And so 5,000 people are fed with 5 loaves. That's a possibility. Now in verse 45. Straight away. Down in verse 45 to 52 together, everybody. Mark 6, 45 to 52. Want to go? I said, everybody, want to go? And straight away, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and could go to the other side or to Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into the mountains of prayer. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea and alone on the air. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came unto them, walking on the water, and would have passed by them. But when he saw him walking upon the sea, he supposed that being a spirit and cried out. But they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them. And he said, what? Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them, unto the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were so amazing themselves, beyond measure and wonder. Verse 52. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, but their hearts. Look at the interpretation of man. He said, Jesus was walking on the water. And they were all amazed. They shouldn't have been. He said, all they needed was to consider the miracle of the loaves. Someone just did something. You should believe that he can do it again. And so, when God has answered your prayers before, you do supernaturally before, provided for you when you prayed, right? Mark says, if you have considered that, you will expect another one. Not to see what God has done before. He calls it, their heart was what? Hardened. The word poru in the Greek. P-O-R-O-O. Let me quickly explain that word. You find it in 2 Corinthians. Now put a marker in Mark 6. We are coming back there. But let's look at that word. Hardened. Their heart was hardened. 2 Corinthians 3. Learn something? What I'm doing this morning is to inspire faith. Faith in God's power. Faith in God's providence. 2 Corinthians 3. Verse 14. Let's start from verse 13. We are looking at the word poru. Adam. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. Verse 14. But their minds were blinded. And until this day, the same veil is untaken away in the wind of this man. Which veil is torn away in Christ? The word, their minds were blinded, is the word Peru. Their minds were blinded. It's the same word Mark used when he says, they did not consider the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. It's actually, their mind was blinded. Now, when he says, listen very well, that the veil remains in their face, and they are really Moses every Sabbath, right? say, but the same veil is in their face. Is it that they cannot see what Moses wrote? Eh? But what they are seeing and cannot see. They are seeing, but they cannot see. Have your mom ever told you before? Showed you a funny. Yeah, that's Yoruba. Is that, are you blind? For example, I got a particular day. I'm not used to washing dishes, but doing the dishes. So I think I was washing, and then the particular plate fell. And nobody sent me that day. I need to do good boy. And my dad came and said, "Are you blind?" Now he knows I'm not blind, deaf, right? Definitely, he knows I'm not blind. But it's, can't you see? Are you getting what I'm saying? And so when that word is used, it's used for what is there, but we are refusing to see it. He says, they are reading Moses, yet they cannot see that the veil has been done away. Yet they are seeing it. They are seeing it. They are seeing that the veil has been done away, yet they can't see. Does that make sense? Come on, I'm not even understand what you're saying now. What is there, but you have just refused to see it. And so he says, they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their mind was blinded. That means they should have seen the miracle us and walk in the same. Hallelujah. They should have seen it. Can't you see? So, when you don't remember the workings of God in your life, and you are now taken over by fear, anxiety, worry, then it's a blindness. You are refusing to see what you ought to see. You have to remember the workings of God. You have to remember that day that I saved you from an accident. You have to remember. And when you remember that, you trust Him for another one, right? Trust Him for another miracle. Don't get all calculative. Are you okay? Don't get all calculative that all your hope is in human endeavors. Trust God for your job. Trust God for your business. Trust God for your family. Trust God for your rent. Trust God for your school fee. Trust God for your hair ticket. Hallelujah. Trust God. He says, if you refuse to remember, he says, they considered not the miracle of the loaves because they were blinded. So, the issue is not, can God meet needs? Can God meet needs, I'm asking, church? Can God meet needs supernaturally? Come on, can God provide for you? Then He will provide for me. I understand. He will surely provide for me. You know what I'm saying? God has never uttered lack. Right from Adam. He made everything Adam would need before Adam even had the need. So we need to trust God. Hallelujah. How about Abraham? Gave him a child as providence. A miracle. Gave him a child. And he told Sarah, "I am the Lord. Is there anything impossible for me?" Hallelujah. The children of Israel, 40 years, food every day. Hallelujah. 40 years, provision every day. That means God can do it every day, actually. How about that? That means God can do it every day. Sometimes you get, why are you worried? That's the question. Why are you even worried? What is a sin? Hallelujah. 40 days, 3 years, food and water. Herod, when Herod was looking to kill Jesus, you know, God had the 3 wise men, or, no, they are not 3. 3 wise men. Not even the 2. Or 50. But, He had the wise men, and they gave to Joseph, right? They gave him frankincense, gold, and myrrh, huh? Right? Right? Uh-huh. That's like stocking up someone's account. Everything they will need in exile was in that gold alone. Hallelujah. God can meet needs. In the Acts of the Apostles, we saw it over and over again. Hallelujah. You believe God? You believe God? There's nothing. There's nothing too hard for Him to do. Don't forget where we're coming from. With God. Eh? Nothing shall be what? Huh? Nothing shall be. Upon the resurrection, he was still eating it. He gave him a fish, even in John 21, when he was already dead. They caught nothing all night. He gave them bread and fish. So, you should see supernatural possibilities. God's provision is one of such. As you go about the work of ministry, you know, you should see your needs met, your bills paid, you know, debt settled. You are owing people. God can help you pay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God can help you pay. I'm not saying, those who pray for people to forget that they are owing their money. Some people are praying that kind of prayer. It's a very bad prayer. It's a supernatural cancellation of debt. That's a bad prayer. You are owing someone and you are praying that the person should forget. You are a thief. What you should pray for? Turn your prayers on that angle. What you pray for is that you should have money to pay. Is that clear? Be a greedy Christian. Everything is about you. God can help you pay. And it's strong in my heart. If you believe this week is actually a week full of miracles. Actually, this week is a week full of miracles. And I'm talking about specifically provision, movement. Hallelujah. You can work on that. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I go about the work of ministry. You actually deals with the resources available. Supernaturally. Resources available. I've seen it before. And I know it can happen again. I've seen it before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You just trust God. School fee. I keep saying school fee. I don't know. It's not like I need school fee. I'm not in school. Hallelujah. But if you need school fee, you can have it. Hallelujah. So don't forget Luke 1:37, we said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. That means God's word carries power to fulfill itself. And it will take care of you. Now, look at that Luke 1. Go back to Luke 1. Luke chapter 1. That's what we're coming. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it's a week full of miracles. It's a week full of miracles. Good news, good news, good news, good news, good news, good news. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. It's a week full of miracles. Oh, yes, oh, yes, 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 yes. More jobs. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's a week full of miracles. Contracts. Yeah, it's a week full of miracles. Yes, yes, yes. Debt paid, debt settled. Hallelujah. Needs met by the power of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, we trust God. We trust God. The same God that is the sick. Meets needs. Oh, yes. Luke 1:37. Hurry together again. Then read verse 38. Want to go? Luke 1:37. Everybody. Want to go? For the God, nothing will be impossible. Verse 38. Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. Of course, it wasn't talking about the word of the angel, because the angel is the servant. It's talking about the word of God. And he's, be it unto me. That's a proper response. That's a proper response. Be it unto me according to your word. And so when God says something, listen to the word, the way to appropriate it is to make it your own. If God says, you're going to have your needs met, what you say is, my needs are met. And you work in the light of the same. Does that make sense? You know, as I say, even if this is a net, you know how much is on ground? God can do beyond that. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just wire ourselves up in unbelief. As the popular. See, that's Yoruba, sorry. That's unbelief gone. You know? There's a hymn like that, Rabbi. As the popular, tell me, Yoruba. You know what I mean? Oh, you see, did they win? Let's read that. Again, don't wire yourself up in unbelief. Don't wire yourself up in unbelief. God needs needs. So he says, look at Mary. He says, nothing shall be impossible. That is, no word from God will go unfulfilled. Then Mary said, be unto me. You take God's word and you make it yours. That makes sense? You take God's word and you make it yours. By the reason of utterance, inspired speaking, sometimes words come out. As I said, what? I said, there's a week full of miracles. What you do is that you take it and make it yours. And during the week, you position yourself and you keep that mind. Is that there? You keep meditating on the promises of God. You keep meditating on the prophecies and you work in the light of the same. That makes sense? Be it unto me according to your word. That is, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. That means, for Mary, if after 1 month, nothing has happened, she'll still say, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. That is, because your word said it, I believe it and that settles it. Your word says it, I believe it, that settles it. Your word said it, I'm not going to be in lack. Right? I believe it, that settles it. That settles it. I don't care what's happening. I know your word will happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, be it unto me according to your word. Don't turn a blind eye on God's provision. Remember when you are the open room? Don't turn a blind eye. Don't turn a blind eye on God's provision. You take God's word, make it yours. Walk in the light. One of the ways you can make it yours and see possibilities is by prayer. I'm not talking about praying for pastor. They are praying for yourself, your own needs. Listen very well. Listen, I've said it before, if you have been around for a while. When you're praying for your needs, don't speak in tongues. I said it before, Abby. You can speak in tongues in between. Say the needs. Say it out. Is that clear? I need so. We are waiting the occur. I need so. Hallelujah. You say it. You can speak in tongues later. But for the need, you mention it. Is that clear? You mention it. You'll be bold about the request. Mention it. And so, one of the ways you can see that possibility is in prayer. Again, the first sign of someone who is not a praying Christian, one of those who is not a praying Christian, is that he worries and complains all the time. How do I know someone that doesn't pray? Those of mine, I just need 30 minutes with the person. He will complain, he will worry about something. If you see people who pray, they don't worry. People who worry, they don't pray. Hallelujah. You have to choose one. I choose to pray. I choose to pray. Because prayer is, I will trust God. I will trust God. People who worry, they don't pray. They say, all my mates, you need to, when I have admission. Admission can be one of the craziest things for preachers. And start wondering their cost. I tell you, fellow, am I cost? Either when they see my name, they just cancel it, or they just raise the cut off. They are not cost. There's nothing. It's just admission. They ain't kill your mom. It's just admission. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you get all worked up. You get all bothered. Why not go and pray? Why not go and pray? Why not see possibilities in the place of prayer? See possibilities in the place of prayer. Pray for me, brother. When you find yourself always worrying, then you should take time to pray. Are you listening to me? When you find yourself always worrying, always giving for the... Sometimes it's not what you even say out. Seen people walking on the streets before, and they're talking to themselves. Worry has eaten him up. And some people say, he doesn't want to pass in front of one shop because he's only there money. And everything has eaten him up. You should choose to pray. You talk to your father. Tell me a fatherless child. Hallelujah. You talk to your father. You talk to your father. Talk to your father. Trusting that with God, all things are possible. Then we said in the beginning that we see possibilities. Hallelujah. I see possibilities. Hallelujah. I see possibilities. Again, miracles didn't end when Christ rose from the dead. As long as men are still getting saved, then they see miracle for you. As long as men are still getting saved, it means miracles are still happening. You know what I'm saying in the beginning? That the beginning of miracles is what? Salvation. So that means for every time men are getting saved, it shows you that miracles are still. Because miracles are in the past. You can't with the apostles. But I'm saying. You know, I'm saying that shows the miracles are still happening. There's still miracle for me. Hallelujah. So we must turn and see supernatural possibilities. When the natural ends and seems to be at the tail end, then you actually can walk on water. You know, in the world, this is the world. In the world, when the situation gets worse and they say, it will only take a miracle. I have seen people go like this. It's really big miracle. And the doctor says it's really big miracle. But that's what I like. But I say it's really big miracle. Thank God. That's better. That's our work. Hallelujah. It's a miracle. That's where we are born. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was born with a miracle. I was born by a miracle. And so when I say it would only take a miracle, I'm glad. Thank you. Thank you for that. That's an edge. No, when something they say it's only take a miracle for you to don't start going, they said it's only take a miracle. That's good. That's our work. That's our work. Is that how you guys say? That's our work. Miracle. We like it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how we were born. So we don't give up. We don't give up. Hallelujah. So go pray. Go pray. Trust in God. If there's anything that can cause you to worry, then it should cause you to pray. If there can be anything that can cause you to worry, that can make you start thinking, then that same thing should cause you to pray. I'll close on Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Which is with Philippians, possibilities by the power of God. I see possibilities, provisions, multiplications, granted desires by the power of God. Philippians 4. Can we read verse 6 together? Everybody, Philippians 4, verse 6. Want to go? Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Let nothing agitate you. How about that? Like, another version will say, be anxious for nothing. There's nothing that should unset you. Not that we are unsetting the word is not. Don't let anything unset you. You are a child of miracles. Don't let anything unset you. Say, be careful for nothing. Say, in all things, this is now the way out. This is the proper conduct. He says, with prayer and supplication, of course, thanksgiving, you make your request known unto God. Your request, right? Not just request, though. It is your own request. That is what you want. You have done all the strategy, you have done all the planning, doing SWOT analysis. That's what analysis use which one? Eh? SWOT, you know SWOT? You don't know SWOT. You have done that business. Eh? Oh my. You just do the analysis of everybody. It's a strategy A, plan B. After the end of meeting, it's still not working. Then come to the ends of prayer. Hallelujah. Come to your mighty hand. Come to your mighty hand. Come to your mighty hand. You are supernatural. You are supernatural. And so you must see supernatural possibilities. Things that can happen by the power of God. In your life, you should have things that happen and you know that this is not natural. And one of it should be provision. I mean, there are things that you should ask and say, this one. I call Pastor Chris and I said something times ago. He said, if everything you have, you bought it. He said, you're not working this natural. He said, some things should have been given to you. I don't know. But I've just side with a part of the story. We should walk in supernatural, the spiritual provision of God. You can just use a call up. You can just say, hey, I just remembered you and I just wanted to. I didn't ask you, sir. God put in my heart. Hallelujah. We are zeroing on provision. Let's probably something else. But today, I want you to trust God to provide for you. I want you to trust God to provide for your parents. I want you to trust God to provide for your spouse. I want you to trust God. I mean, for provision. He says, don't be careful. Don't be anxious about anything. Be careful for nothing. Then he says, let your request be known unto God. Have you got requests this morning? You got requests? Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and pray, Father.